Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so excited that you are with us today. I am super excited that we are starting a new series, by the title name of The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. And we are going to be so enjoyed by this new series. And I just encourage you to come ready, willing, and able with your Bible or your device and paper and pencil to take notes, because we are going to have a super excited time, as we always do on Mission from the Heart. So I have a guest host in studio today with me, and she is a dear, dear friend of mine. We've co-labored together in the Lord, and we study together in the Lord. And I tell you, God knows how to bring about relationships between the brethren and the sisterin. And so she is going to walk with me through this teaching series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. But before I bring her on, I want us to hear a little bit about what Luke is going to share with us. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Every birth is a miracle, and every child is a gift from God. But nearly 20 centuries ago, there was a miracle of miracles. A baby was born, but he was the Son of God. The Gospels tell of this birth. But Dr. Luke, as though he were the attending physician, most of the details surrounding this awesome occasion. With divine Father and human Mother, Jesus entered history. God in the flesh. From an infant who could do nothing on his own, Jesus grew to become completely able to fulfill his mission on earth. He was fully human, developing in all ways like us, yet he remained fully God. He took no shortcuts and was not isolated from the pressures of temptation of life. There are no shortcuts for us, my brothers and my sisters, as we prepare for a life of service to God. So think about that. No shortcuts for us. If there weren't any for Jesus, there won't be any for us. But just keep in mind, my brother and my sister, if you don't already know, we are preparing for a life that serves the Almighty God. So now we are going to just get right into our broadcast. I'm so excited to introduce my sister in Christ, Minister Kathy White, and she is going to introduce herself to us on the broadcast and tell us a little bit about herself, and she will just lead us right into this teaching series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. So, Kathy, if you could just give us a little thumbnail sketch of yourself, where you're from and how did you come to know Christ, and we are ready to get in the thick of it all in The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. Kathy?
Minister Carnita, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this. I have been walking with the Lord since I was 6 years old, live in Houston, Texas, all of my life, and just delighted to know who God is. Now, let's just get into our study. Enough about me. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to cover the entire chapter today. Grab your Bibles and just follow along with me. We're going to see the Bible open up to us as God introduces us to his son. Luke is a physician who is a physician, wrote this book for those who need a relationship with Christ, and it's used as one of God's instruments for the redemption of man. Here we start off in the first chapter of Luke. The priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth are both seen by God as being righteous. Zacharias has been chosen to go into the temple and to burn incense for the Lord. Elizabeth is barren and without a child. As Zacharias goes into the temple, he's greeted by an angel of the Lord who tells him that he and his wife will have a son, and they will call him John. The angel of the Lord then tells Zacharias that John will be great in the sight of the Lord. John won't drink wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even while he's in his mother's womb. Is that not an awesome thought? John will turn many of the sons of Israel back to God. John will be the forerunner. He will be the one that comes before Christ to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The people are waiting for Zacharias. He's in the temple doing the temple duties to come out of the temple. Zacharias comes out. He's unable to speak. Why? He's met with an angel of the Lord. The people realize that Zacharias had seen a vision. After Zacharias had done his priestly duties, he returned home to Elizabeth. Elizabeth became pregnant and kept in seclusion for 5 months. Elizabeth proclaimed that she had the favor of the Lord. Is that not an awesome thought? Elizabeth had the favor of the Lord. So now we go back. We start. Hold on. Let's continue. So here we are in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Elizabeth now knows that she is going to be with child, but then we come to the point that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, goes to Nazareth, and he speaks to a virgin whose name is Mary. Mary was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and Joseph was a descendant of David. Gabriel tells Mary that she has favor with God and that God is with her. Gabriel tells Mary not to be afraid, that she would conceive a child and have a son named Jesus. Jesus will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God, and God will give him the throne of David. Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asks, how could she conceive? She was a virgin. Gabriel tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and that the child that she will deliver will be the Son of God. Gabriel also tells Mary that her relative, Elizabeth, has already conceived and is now 6 months. Mary says that she is a bond slave of God, and Gabriel departs from her. Here we are now in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, when Mary and Elizabeth get together. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, y'all. Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, and guess what? The baby in her womb, he leaps. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, and so was Elizabeth. Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth rejoices that the mother of the Lord would come to visit her. She tells Mary that her baby leaped in her belly when he heard her speak. Elizabeth then tells Mary, blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken by the Lord. Well, here we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 45 through 56, and Mary begins to praise God. Mary exalts the Lord. She praises God for her Savior. She praises God for choosing her, a bond slave, to carry the Son of God. She praises God that he is holy. She praises God for his mercy, for his mighty acts. She praises him for his power. She praises him that he brought help to Israel. Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months, and then she returns home. Well, here we are in chapter 1, verses 57 through 66, and John is born to Elizabeth and Zacharias. Elizabeth gives birth to John. John was circumcised on the eighth day, and Elizabeth named that child John. Zacharias agrees with Elizabeth that he would be named John because the angel of the Lord had told them that would be his name. Guess what, y'all? John opened his mouth and began to praise God at days old. That's some kind of miracle. Fear came over the neighbors who were there, and they asked, what will this child turn out to be? The hand of the Lord was with John. Oh, my God, what an awesome thought. So then we go on to Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 80. We're going to conclude this chapter now. It has 80 verses. And Zechariah prophesied. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. He then praised God for visiting with him and for accomplishing the redemption of his people. He proclaims that God has brought salvation to the house of David. Zacharias then shared what the prophets of old had told the Lord. He said, there will be salvation from their enemies. There will be mercy shown to their fathers, those who are in covenant with God, that those who are in covenant with God might serve him without fear, but in holiness and righteousness all of their days. He proclaims that John will be called the prophet of the Most High, who will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give his people the knowledge of salvation for the forgiveness of their sins, to see the mercy of the Lord each day the sun rises, to shine on those in darkness, to guide our feet in the way of peace. John continued to grow and became strong in spirit. He lived in the desert until the day that he appeared for his public appearance before Israel. Now, our blessed sister, Minister Carnita, is going to come in to share with you some life applications. And you guys are going to want to get out your pencil and paper because you are not going to want to miss the life application that she's going to share. Sister Carnita, why don't you share with us now?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, just listening to the full call of the story in the first chapter of Luke is, it just gives me a leap in my soul just to hear how Jesus came and how John the Baptist came. It's just been tremendous, Minister Kathy, to hear. And I hope and pray that you have been filled with joy as well as we are doing this series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. So try not to miss some of these beautiful intricacies as Minister Kathy reads through the scriptures and as I give a short life application right behind her. This is going to be the format as we continue this wonderful series. So we are going to look at the life application for chapter 1 in Luke. Now, as Minister Kathy indicated through the scriptures, and I implore you, we implore you, we encourage you to read them for yourself in detail, verse by verse, so that you can come into a deeper relationship with Christ. This is what the scriptures do for us. It brings life out of us, the life that is within us. So now, as a life application for the first chapter of the book of Luke, indicating that serving as Zechariah did as a priest, he was serving or serve with a faithful heart, servant's heart, and a prayerful heart. Now, don't miss these little richnesses of the life application. Zechariah, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ, we are to serve with a faithful heart, servant's heart, a prayerful heart. Jesus said he came to do what? He came to serve, not to be served. So there's the emphasis on serving or service or a servant's heart. And serving keeps our mind and heart on the promises of God. This is what it did as Mary and Zechariah, servants of God. Zechariah served as in the temple as a priest, and Mary said, here I am, Lord, whatever your will is for me, I will. And this is the kind of heart we are to have as children of God. whatever God so chooses for us, we are to have a heart or an attitude of, I will. Use me. Mold me to do your will. And this is what Mary so beautifully said to the angel. And Zechariah had a few little challenges, but we may have some challenges from time to time when we are a little perplexed, if you will, by what the Lord wants us to do. We may not know how, and we may not know when, but the understanding is that we serve. Faithful heart, with a servant's heart, and definitely with a prayerful heart. Submission, or submitting to God through Christ by the Holy Spirit, is a pleasing discipline to God. This is what pleases God when we submit to his will. And that's what Mary did, and that's what Zechariah finally got it right when his mouth was no more dumb to what he harbored in his heart, a little bit of unbelief. Now, that can be us from time to time as well, but we need to identify it, call it what it is, and we need to submit to what God has called us to do as his servant. Submitting, submission to God through Christ by the Holy Spirit is a pleasing discipline to God. We have been chosen, as did Mary, for a good work by God, for God. We've been chosen by God as his children to do a great work, to love, to lead all people to life change in Christ. Now, this is what we're called to do, with a servant's heart, with a submissive heart, a servant's will, a submissive will, that we are to love and lead all people, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of status quo. We are to love them and lead them to life change in Christ. This is a mission of the heart. This is what this broadcast does, is to love people, lead people to a life change in Christ. That is what we are to do in humbleness and reverential fear, the fear of the Lord with reverence. In all humility and humbleness, we are to do this. We are blessed beyond measure, according to Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 14. So make note of that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 14, that we are blessed beyond measure. And so, lastly, as a life application in this chapter, we are to sing praises for what God has done in our life. This should be a natural thing for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we sing and lift up the Lord in praise and worship, to be our voice should be a sweet sound, or the fruit of our lips should give honor and glory to him as we sing and praise him. This is what Mary did as well. Mary sang. She sang a song from her heart because of what God has said to her. Now, how many of us do that? How many of us can clearly hear the the voice or a still small voice of God and just bolt out a praise and worship, a song or a hymn or maybe your own. Just make it a song of praise. So praises for what God has done in our life, for who he gave for us, Jesus Christ, is a living sacrifice to be payment for the sins of all humanity. Now that is something to sing about. This is what God did for us. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, as a living sacrifice to be a payment for the sins of all humanity. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, according to John 3:16. And that's a very familiar verse in Scripture. John 3:16. You should have a song in your heart of exaltation as Mary did and Zechariah. They lifted up their voice to him. You want healing, deliverance, joy, revival of the soul? Then Scripture tells us, rejoice. I say again, rejoice, according to Philippians 4:4-7. Just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice for what he's done for you. Rejoice for what he's done on the cross. Just rejoice and sing praises to his name. The church needs to learn how to worship in spirit and in truth. In your unbelief, circumstances, or perplexity, as did Mary and Zechariah. We need to learn that, my brothers and sisters, on how important it is for us to rejoice, to sing, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of this doesn't seem right, one day it will. You just continue to worship the Lord in songs, praises to him, serve, servant's heart, prayerful heart, and we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to continue to be submissive to the will, the Holy Spirit of God. This is our work as children of light, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I hope this has helped you as we read through the scriptures in summary and as we give a life application chapter by chapter. So I encourage you to take the notes that come to mind and write down the verses and some of the nuggets, but never forget that Scripture is teaching us to serve, to submit, and to sing. So we are going to move right along, and Minister Kathy, you are going to bring us into our second chapter. Go right ahead.
Great. Here we are in Luke chapter 2. Caesar Augustus, y'all, he declared that a census be given or be taken for all of the people in all of the earth. Everyone had to register in their own cities. Being in the house of David, Joseph and Mary had to register in the city of Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph were engaged, and Mary was with a child. Mary was nearing the time that she would give birth. So then she gives birth to her firstborn son, wrapped in clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Shepherds were in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds, and those shepherds were frightened. The angel tells them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will," the angels said, "that today in the city of David, there has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Y'all, we need a Savior, even right now. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly appearing with the angel was a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among men." The angels had gone away then, and the shepherds said in verse 15, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They found their way to Mary, Joseph, and the baby. The shepherds told what the angels had said to them about the child. All who heard wondered at the things that were told by the shepherds. Mary treasured these things. They were talking about her baby, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds left, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. It was just as they had been told. So now let us move on to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. After 8 days, the child was named Jesus, and he was circumcised. Remember, Jesus was the name that the angel had given to Mary to call her child. Jesus was taken up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. According to Leviticus 12, 6 through 8, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. In Jerusalem, they offered a sacrifice, Mary and Joseph, a pair of turtle doves or even two pigeons. Then they met Simeon, a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, one who has promised, who was promised that he would get to see Jesus before he died. In the temple, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and blessed God because his eyes had seen salvation. That'll come, check that out in verse 30, y'all. Simeon declared that his eyes had seen the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Simeon blessed Jesus and said to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of Israel." A prophetess, Anna, who was also serving in the temple, came and gave thanks to God and told all of the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had performed everything according to the law, they returned to Nazareth. Jesus continued to grow, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Wow. Both Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they again went up for the feast. After the feast ended, y'all, they returned to Nazareth. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem without his parents knowing what he was doing. They thought that Jesus was in that family caravan or with the friends of theirs. And after a day had gone by, and they started to look for Jesus among their relatives and their acquaintances, they couldn't find him. So they returned to Jerusalem to find Jesus. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, both listening and asking questions of the teachers. All who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When Mary and Joseph found Jesus, Mary asked him in verse 48, "Son, why have you treated us this way?" asked them. "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I am to be about in my Father's house?" Joseph and Mary did not understand that statement. Jesus went home with them to Nazareth. He continued to submit to the authority of his parents. Mary treasured her time with Jesus. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God. That concludes our chapter 2. Now again, get out your papers and your pencil because you are going to want to take down a life application as Minister Carnita comes to share with us.
Amen. Amen. This brings me to, you know, Minister Kathy, this brings me to a song that I've heard many of times. And my brothers and sisters, you may know the song as well. And it's called Mary, Did You Know? And I just think it's a beautiful song, at least, you know, the melody and the lyrics. But I just wanted to read the lyrics of Mary, Did You Know? And let's see, the words and music are by Mark Lowry and a Buddy Green, arranged by Tom Fetsy. I just want to give credit where credit is due. But I just wanted to read the lyrics because I think it is very fitting for chapter 2, as you read in those verses concerning Mary and her son. And this is how the lyrics start. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? And it goes on to state that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. And then it concludes, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb and the sleeping child you are holding is the great I am? Mary, Mary, did you know? And I just thought that was the most beautiful song to hear, and I hope you maybe Google it or pull it up on your device and hear the instruments, the melodies behind the lyrics. And it just really brings a different light into your mind about the importance of Jesus and his life and how natural Mary was as a mother for a child that an angel revealed to her about all of what she would experience with this baby boy. And for her to go frantically looking for her child in the village that she was and to find out that he was in the temple being about his father's business. A 12-year-old. Now that in itself is amazement, but when he stated those words, don't you know that I am about my father's business? She could not understand why or even what that meant that he was saying. But thanks be to God, we have the scriptures with us today. Now, as we look at the life's application for this particular chapter, then let's look at some verses that complement the life's application. So Christ lives in all believers by the Holy Spirit. When we accepted him as Savior through salvation, as babes in Christ, we need to grow from the milk of the Word to full maturity as Christ exemplified for us. The rich meat of the Word, becoming well-developed in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and the body of Christ, meaning favor with man. So think about this. As Minister Kathy read those verses, I hope some things popped out as I indicate here as a life application. And I'm going to state it again. Christ lives in all believers, all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and by way of the Holy Spirit, he lives in us through salvation. Now, let's look at some scripture that proves that. So if you would follow along with me in your Bible. Now, I'm going to read these scriptures in the Amplified translation, but you follow along with me, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Now, this, I'm sure, is familiar verse with a lot of us, but with me to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 9, starting at verse 9, and we're going to read through 13. Starting in verse 9 of Romans 10, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification. That is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, capital H-I-M, will not be disappointed in his expectation. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. That's us. For the same Lord is Lord over all of us. And he is abounding in riches, blessings for all who call in faith and prayer. And verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved. Amen. Now, this is Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. Now let's go over to John 1, verse 12, if you will. Follow with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 12 and read that verse alone. And it says, But to as many as did receive and welcome him, gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, or rely on his name. Now, this is what we have. We have the right as children of God who believe in him. We trust in him. We rely on him. We adhere to him. We submit to him. Him, his name, Jesus. And then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2 through 9. And it reads this way. Starting in verse 8, for it is by grace God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift, God. Keep that in mind, that our salvation is a gift of God. Verse 9, not as a result of your works, as some of us may think, but we are wrong. It's not as a result of our works, nor our attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his or her salvation. It is not for us to take credit. It is all given by God and God alone. So, as I indicated, Christ lives in all believers by the Holy Spirit when we accept him as Savior through salvation. As babes in Christ, yes, when we first accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are babes, if you will. Little lambs in Christ. We need to grow. We saw this as Minister Kathy read the scriptures showing how Jesus grew up. Growth is the word to circle or to underline. We need to grow. Just as children, we need to grow. To grow from the milk of the word, meaning that you need to grow from being spoon-fed by others to the point where you are fully mature as Christ exemplified for us, meaning you're eating the richness of the word now. You have grown to a maturity to where now you can exercise your spiritual gifts. You can stand firm on your faith. You can defend your faith. The rich meat of the word is Jesus exemplified when he was in the temple. And then he submitted to his parents and continued to grow as a carpenter, becoming well-developed in wisdom, stature, favor with God and with the body of Christ, or with the body of Christ, the church, according to verse 52. So if we look at Luke chapter 2 and go to verse 52, and I will reread that. Again, I'm in the Amplified translation, but you read it in yours as we follow along. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now, keep in mind, we will do the same as we continue to grow in our grace, walk through salvation. It starts at acceptance. Growth starts at acceptance of Jesus Christ, meditating on his word day and night, meditating. And that's an important discipline for us as children of Christ, that we do more meditating on the word, Mission from the Heart, or your Sunday school class, or your private study time, more of that. Meditating on his word day and night. Let's look at that in scripture. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And then we are going to move to, what verse do I want?
us to start. Joshua 1, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 8.
Okay. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful in this translation, successful. So this is what the Lord God wanted Joshua to be, successful, but indicating that our success doesn't come from the way man, closing days of grace, success comes from meditating on the scriptures day and night, saturating ourselves in the word of God to become strong in stature, to develop wisdom, to have favor with God, and prayer and supplication. So let's go to Psalms 1. And I hope you are making note of these scriptures, and maybe you can read them at your own private study time, but Psalms chapter 1, and we're just going to read verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. Psalms 1, verse 2, and this is in the Amplified. But I enjoy the emphasis of words so that we can really get the intensity of understanding his precepts and teachings and meditate daily and nightly. And then verse 3, and he will be like a tree, that's talking about you, my brothers and sisters. We will be like a tree planted firmly and fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. So you will grow and you will become strong in the word of God, that you could stand sure-footed, unmovable, concerning the word of God, precept upon precept, planted like a tree firmly, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaves don't wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. So whatever we do, according to God's will, we do it within the will of God. Scripture tells me we prosper and comes to maturity. There's that word, and comes to maturity. Psalms 1 through 3. So prayer and supplication, alone time with God daily. So let's move to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we're in the New Testament. Philippians 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 7. This is what it says. Do not be anxious, worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance or situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God.
verse 7. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours. That peace that surpasses, transcends all understanding stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That peace is yours, to where we would stand firm, strong in the Word of God. This is called growth. This is called maturity. This is what Jesus exemplified. Alone time with him daily. Daily is the understanding. So, as God's chosen, you and myself and Minister Kathy, as we are chosen, our faith in him and his promises are to be about the Father's business. And let's read that again in Luke chapter 2, all the way down to the 49th. And I like that. That should be the attitude of all brothers and sisters in Christ. The body of Christ is that God chose us, our faith is in him, and his promises, the word of God, as we meditate on them night and day, that we are to be about the Father's business. Verse 49. And he answered, why did you have to look for me, is what Jesus said. Why did you have to look for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Depending on the translation, some may say my Father's business. But he had to be. And I just see that as a beautiful, beautiful illustration for us to always be growing, always meditating, and always be about our Father's business. So it leads me to this song that we're familiar with, and the title of the song is, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. And you know the song, and I pray that you do, but this is the message. O come, let us adore him. So as we continue, I just think that this is an opportunity for us to stop, drop, and pray, Minister Kathy, for those who are listening to the broadcast. We can't just assume that they. So we are going to take this opportunity to pray a prayer of salvation. And it would be up to you to accept or reject him. But we encourage you, if you are a listener to this broadcast, that you have already said yes. You just need other brothers and sisters to lead you to him. So this is what we are going to do right now. We are going to lead a prayer of salvation. Now, it's Minister Kathy's words, but it's your heart. So you prepare your heart, my brother, my sister, and we pray that you say yes. And I'm going to turn this over to Minister Kathy as she leads us in a prayer of salvation. Minister Kathy.
Thank you so much. Oh, my God, I have really been blessed. Guys, for a scriptural reference for the prayer that we're about to pray, go to Romans 10, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. But pray this along with me so that you too might be a part of the family of God and so that you too can ask God for that peace and to not be anxious and all of those things that Minister Carnita talked about in Philippians. So let's pray. God, I confess I am a sinner. I need Jesus to come into my life. Forgive me, God, of all of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me and that he rose again to give me life. I pray and I ask Jesus to come into my life. I accept Jesus now as my Lord and as my Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, saying that prayer says that you are instantly in the family of God. It's not about how you feel. It's about the fact that he said in Romans 10, 9, and 10 that you had to confess, that you had to believe, and that you have to accept Jesus Christ. If you've done those things, now go get in the Word, like Sister Minister Carnita has been saying to you, and learn to mature and to develop in the Word so that God can use your life as an instrument of faith in the kingdom of God. Sister Carnita?
Amen, amen. Minister Kathy, that is exactly the process that we as believers in Christ are to do. So praise the Lord, yay God, that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I am just super excited. So now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church. Seek out a church in your community that you can be baptized by submersion of water. And when you get up, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you have let the world know that you are a Christ follower in the faith. Hallelujah. And we encourage you also to seek out a small group study in your church or in that particular church or a Sunday school class that you will continue to grow and go in grace. This is what Jesus exemplified as he came through a virgin named Mary as a little baby, and he took on development. And this is what he wants us to do. So it is important that you continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio and you seek out a small group in your church or a church of your choosing, as long as they are teaching the Word of God doctrinally correct, and a Sunday school class. And those are the areas that we do our most growing. And we just are excited that you have said yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So now we will continue our series for the next broadcast, and Minister Kathy and I will continue the ministry of Jesus recorded by Luke, and we just encourage you to continue to tune in. Don't allow this to be a missed opportunity for growth. And you will see in the other chapters of Luke, and we encourage you to read on, if you will, just so that you can be already familiar with the chapter, and then you would just be in position to take some rich notes and pull them out at your private study time so that you will continue to grow. Now, I can't say it enough, as the Word of God shows us and disciplines us to continue to grow. Don't become stagnant or stale, you know, keeping an old loaf of bread sitting out and it just becomes still unpleasing to us. It doesn't taste right. So this is what we are not to do. So we are to continue to grow and go in grace. So praise the Lord to the brothers and sisters that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We are super excited. And remember, although you've accepted Christ, you are now going to start growing in the grace of God. So as we read and as we familiarize ourselves with the Word of God, you will be growing, my brothers, my sisters. You definitely will. Now, always remember that the grass withers and the grass and the flowers fadeth away. I say this, and you probably have it memorized by now, and yay God for that. But the grass will wither as we see season after season, and the flowers do fade. But we can rest assured and stand firm and know that the Word of God remains forever and ever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and we will meet again here for part two of the ministry of Jesus recorded by Luke. God bless you.